You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
You can resolve to live your life with integrity. The simple step of a courageous man is to not take part in the lie, not to support deceit. Let your credo be this: let the lie come into the world, let it even dominate the world, but not through me. And that was the great Alexander Solzhenitsyn, ladies and gentlemen, and certainly a credo that we abide by here in the Political Cesspool radio program. Welcome to the live show this evening. It is Saturday, November 21st. I am indeed your host, James Edwards, broadcasting live tonight, as we do every Saturday night without fail. How many things in your life have you been able to count on week in and week out without exception for 11 years? I bet there's not very many things on that list. Maybe a few. We're happy to be one of them, to be consistently generating a top shelf product every week for 11 years. And let me tell you, you're tuning into this show tonight. You're tuning in to a show that is unbought and unbossed, a show that is not afraid to tell the truth in love. And if you're tuning in this evening and you don't want to hear the truth about what diversity and multiculturalism does to Western nations, you're listening to the wrong show. If you're tuning in tonight and you don't want to hear the truth about the adverse effects of Jewish power and influence, the dominance of Jewish supremacism in our institutions, you need to turn the channel. And if you didn't want to hear those two taboo issues filtered through the lens of Christianity, you need to go somewhere. Actually, check that on all fronts. If you're tuned in tonight and that's not what you want to hear, you're probably the person who needs this show the very most. And we're happy to be able to bring it to you, ladies and gentlemen. Free speech reigns here in the political cesspool, and we are happy to talk about the things that scare away most mortal men. We are supermen here, and you give us the strength to be so. People like Andy, who sent me an email, listen to this. This is incredible. Andy writes in for the first time: I started listening to your show and started including it on my YouTube channel a couple of weeks ago by popular request. Keep up the good work. I've started listening regularly now, so I actually checked out this fella's channel. And indeed, for about the last couple of months now, I think, he's been posting full shows, commercial-free, of the Political Cesspool each week on his YouTube channel. And he includes graphics depicting monumental dates in white history as the background as the show rolls on for the 2 and 3 hours that we're here every night live here on Saturday. And so many people do that. I actually wrote this gentleman back, and I replied, "Thank you so much for your thoughtful email and taking the time to go through the painstaking process of editing our shows for publication on your channel. As a commercial AM radio entity, I know that must be time-consuming." I told him I'd give him a shout-out on the air, and here it is, and I have done so now. A lot of other people do this, ladies and gentlemen. I mentioned this within the last year, I guess, on the radio show, but so many people have done this over the years. They take our shows or select interviews with renowned guests or even select commentaries that move them for whatever reason, and they've been posting it on YouTube. We do have an official YouTube channel. I think we've got like a dozen videos up there of me and Eddie and Keith participating in different shenanigans. And we've gotten several thousand views there, maybe tens of thousands, but total. But because of the people like Andy and others who, over the course of our decade and change run on the AM/FM syndicated airwaves, we have amassed well more than 1 million views on YouTube. And it's sometimes, you know, one of my appearances on CNN alone that's posted on YouTube has something like 200,000, 250,000 views. Our interview with Anthony Cumia, just to give you an example, has, I think, 10 or 20,000 views. There's actually one 4-minute clip that was just in the middle of a show. Just, of course, every show is good, so I'm not just going to say any given show or just a regular old show. every time we broadcast, I think it's a great radio program. I think it's an incredible broadcast, stands head and shoulders against the competition. That's why we're here. That's why we're number one. But it was a four-minute clip of us talking about the amount of rape that goes on in Sweden, how the Swedish women are being enriched by multiculturalism and diversity, and that they now have the highest per capita rape versus any other country in the world, save South Africa. And we know what's going on down there. But Sweden's second in the world in terms of rapes per capita, second only to South Africa. We did a four-minute commentary in a show a couple of years ago where we were talking about these statistics. Well, somebody, a loyal listener, a fan of this show, took just that 4 minutes, plucked them from our archives, put it up on their YouTube page. Just that 1 4-minute clip of just Keith and I talking about that topic has, I think, 50,000 views on YouTube. It's incredible. And I can tell you that, you know, just from reaching that many people on YouTube, and that is total gravy, total bonus for us. And that's not even beginning to count the tens of thousands we reach here every night on the AM and FM radio airwaves, on the internet stream, on the Roku player, those who are tuning in over the phone. There's so many ways you can listen to Political Cesspool, not to mention the broadcast archives. And we're just having a really good time and reaching a lot of people thanks to you folks. So I want to thank everybody who contributes to this program, everybody who prays for this program, everybody who takes the time to spread the word of this program and all the means with which they do that, whether it's word of mouth or email or posting these things to YouTube or sharing my articles. Listen, I have gotten an absolutely tremendous response to the article that we spent the entire third hour last week discussing and breaking down. I'm not going to spend more than a minute just saying this because we did spend so much time on it last week, but the article that I wrote that documents my journey to the intersection of Christianity and ethno-nationalism, which was originally posted as an exclusive on Faith and Heritage, has now trickled out to many other websites, including right here, the website of our radio network, LibertyRoundtable.com, Occidental Descent. Kevin McDonald, my good friend Dr. McDonald, posted it to his website, the OccidentalObserver.net, I think it was yesterday. And between that, all of the people who are sharing it on their websites, all of the people who have shared it on Facebook, there's been hundreds of people who have shared that article on Facebook. It is, and I might have mentioned this last week, I don't remember, it has actually eclipsed the amount of feedback generated when I was on CNN for a full hour. I want to reiterate that. Now, back in 07, I've been on national TV a few times, but back in 07, one appearance stands out. As a guest, it is very rare for any single guest to be featured on a program, a primetime cable news show on network television like that for a full hour. You almost never see that. One guest for a full hour on a primetime show on Fox or CNN, it just doesn't happen. But there I was in April of 07, featured for a full hour talking about self-segregation. Their primetime show at that time, it was the Palazan show. Over 500,000 viewers, they say they have for that particular show at that particular time slot. This article that I wrote that has been linked by all of these websites that I just mentioned and others, of course, we link to it at thepoliticalcesspool.org, has been shared on Facebook so many times. I have generated more emails, or more emails rather, have been generated in response to that article who's been shared by our friends than CNN was able to generate. We are taking on the mainstream media. We don't need them anymore. That's why I turned down an opportunity to be on NBC as their guest last month. We don't need the media anymore. We have created our own media, and you're listening to one of the flagships right here tonight in the Political Cesspool. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Speaking of last week's show, and speaking of the people who have taken clips of ours and posted them to YouTube, I couldn't help but notice that someone did that with our interview last week with Brother Nathaniel. And the graphic is so professionally done. I very rarely take the time to go and read what's being written about us and said about us. I just don't have the time to do that. And I even more rarely get on YouTube and scour the depths of YouTube to see who has posted what pertaining to our program and commentaries. But I did take the time to do it last week because of that email that I read to you during the first segment. So I was just browsing around, just taking a look, taking stock, trying to add up, you know, collectively how many views, and it's more than 1 million. That's when I stopped. It could very well be millions. I don't know how many more out there that I didn't see. But a fellow took the Brother Nathaniel interview that we had last week and posted it to YouTube, and the graphic was so incredibly good. Had an eagle. It said the Political Cesspool for Faith and Freedom had our web address. This is completely unsanctioned, and I am so thankful. I love you people for doing this. You don't need our permission to take our content. Our content is free to be distributed everywhere. And there it was, and I'm actually going to post that particular YouTube video to our website on Tuesday. I think it's scheduled to post. And it's just the clip of the Brother Nathaniel interview. I thought the entire show last week was solid. I think they're all solid. They're all my babies. But I thought that the interview with Brother Nathaniel at the bottom of the second hour last week was absolutely prolific. And, you know, Brother Nathaniel, you know, his story is just so engrossing. This is a guy born into a Jewish family, gave up his friends, gave up his religion in order to dedicate his life to Jesus Christ. And now he works to awake white people, Gentiles, to the menace of radical Jewish supremacism. I have sacrificed a lot. You know, I probably could have had a very lucrative career in broadcasting had I just mind my P's and Q's. But so I've sacrificed. Kevin McDonald, God knows, has sacrificed to tell these truths. But I haven't sacrificed as much as Brother Nathaniel. I didn't lose my whole family and all my friends. And that's why he has my complete support. Anybody that sacrifices something to tell the truth is a friend of mine, and we're fellow travelers. Anyway, Brother Nathaniel had another clip that I thought was just spot on, and he's not on the show this week, but we're going to play it now just for the sake of it because it's on my mind and because I want to. Let's play this clip from one of Brother Nathaniel's most recent videos. Let's roll it now.
The candidates are saying all the right things. For when it comes to pleasing the Jews, sending troops to Syria will get you big Jewish bucks and top media coverage. Take Marco Rubio. With Jewish billionaires Norman Braman and Paul Singer backing him, Marco knows what side his campaign is lock, stand, bageled on.
Senator, I want to start with the news that the United States is sending 50 special operations forces into Syria. Is that enough?
Well, it's an important start to what I think from a tactical perspective. But I think the broader issue is what is the strategy? And I think the strategy has to involve more coordination with the Kurds and also with Sunnis, because you're not going to defeat ISIS, a radical Sunni movement, without a robust anti-ISIS Sunni coalition. So I do think it's an important tactical step forward. It needs to be backed up with increased airstrikes and so forth. So I don't have a problem with the tactics of it, and the numbers might even have to be larger at some point.
Just what the Jews want to hear. Get the camel's nose inside the tent with 50 troops, and then 2,000 will follow for yet another Jewish-inspired hellish regime change. Besides, Marco, there's already a robust anti-ISIS Sunni coalition. It's called the Syrian Armed Forces and Syrian Intelligence Services, which have a large loyalist Sunni presence. Don't you think if the Sunnis in both services wanted to sort out, they would have done it themselves by now? But sanity plays no part when Jews drive America's foreign policy. And once you get a taste of Jewish sponsorship, like Ben Carson, who got a round-tripper to Israel from the face of Israel, you savor that taste for more sponsorships to come.
What's your much bigger plan for Syria?
Well, my much bigger plan involves, you know, Putin and Iran also. I mean, those are the forces that are propping up the Assad regime.
Propping up? You mean supporting the legitimate Syrian government, whose elected president happens to be Dr. Bashar al-Assad.
And even though Putin came in there and said that he was going to fight ISIS, he's really fighting the anti-Assad forces.
Excuse me, but Putin doesn't differentiate between good terrorists and bad terrorists. And unlike Jumerica, he doesn't do regime change.
What we need to be thinking about is how do we oppose him? I think we should establish a no-fly zone there.
Sorry, Ben, but the Pentagon long ago tabled a no-fly option. They know better than to see their F-15s shot down by Russian aircraft. And besides, like the U.S. troops, a no-fly zone would be an act of war against Syria, which only Congress can authorize, not GOP warmongers shilling for Israel. But Carson is angling for a World War III.
Let me ask you, you see what Vladimir Putin is doing, and his influence, he seems to be filling a vacuum. What are your thoughts, and how would you handle it?
Well, I believe that we need to stand up to him.
How? How would you specifically, if you're president, what would you do?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't listen to his general saying, you guys can't fly here anymore.
Can you imagine that?
I would say, not only can we fly, but you need to go take a flying leap. You know, not a problem.
In other words, you'd be willing to create a confrontation where you
Absolutely.
Say,
this is one dangerous man itching for a showdown with Russia. For Russia is legally in Syria at the invitation of the government, whereas America has illegally invaded Syria's borders without its consent. How could this mild-mannered doctor have the heart of a warmongering monster? He doesn't. He gets his script from Edelman and Cohen's John Hay Initiative, a neocon foreign policy one-stop Jewish shop for Republican candidates. And drawing from the same polluted pool, Sheldon Adelson's man, Jeb Bush, has something to please the Jews too.
We need to be part of the strategy to deal with taking Assad out and taking ISIS out.
In that order, huh, Jeb? First get Assad out, and then ISIS is just an afterthought. Never mind with Assad out, ISIS enters Damascus and starts slaughtering Christians. But the Jews who steer U.S. foreign policy don't care about Christians or the vast majority of Syrian loyalists. All they care about is what's good for the Jews. It's a bad day. We're in a bad way. It's elections for Jews only. And Rubio, Carson, and Jeb are warmongers on Jewish puppet strings.
Why did I play that clip? Well, it's simple, because I believe in what he said. I agree with what he said, and I could have said the exact same thing just as well, but why not take a 4-minute break and go into the green room and get a cup of sweet tea and let Brother Nathaniel do the heavy lifting. But the guy's great, and we're going to start having him on more often. I want to start having him on once a month. I talked to Brother Nathaniel after his appearance on the show last week, and we talked about doing just that and having him back on before Christmas and celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. But he's right about a lot of things, including the fact that I am telling you, the people who control America's foreign policy, and I think Brother Nathaniel, Nathaniel named them, it's really scary what they're getting their puppets. Every GOP candidate running for president, except for Donald Trump, to buy into. Jeb Bush, here's Chris Christie. Listen to what Chris Christie said. The first thing you do is you set up a no-fly zone in Syria, and you call Putin, and you say to him, listen, we're enforcing a no-fly zone, and that means we're enforcing it against everyone, and that includes you, so don't test me. And then the interviewer asks, so what happens if Russia violates this no-fly zone? And Chris Christie says, you take them down, meaning we shoot down Russian jets. But what vital interest of ours has ever been so engaged in Syria to justify a major war in the Middle East and a military clash with Russia with a nuclear arsenal as large as our own? In any war, it is usually wise to enlarge the roster of one's allies and reduce the roster of enemies. And if ISIS is the enemy and must be annihilated, shouldn't we welcome all volunteers? And here's Putin, and I'll tell you, and I've got a post coming up on Monday at thepoliticalcesspool.org. The people of Russia, in response to what happened in France last week, our cousins in Russia are reaching out to their cousins in the West. We need to ally with Russia. We need a strategic alliance with Putin. But tell that to the GOP and tell it to the Democrats and their overlords, their handlers. We'll talk more about this later, but we're going to take a break and come back with something different right after this.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Folks, I promise you, I'm not trying to take the easy way out tonight, but when friends of ours and regular guests of this program make great videos, I feel obligated to use my bully pulpit here as being really our movement's only voice in AM talk radio to get the word out there. And to that end, Jared Taylor has a new video out during which he explains how the usual combination of black hysteria and white cowardice has gripped the University of Missouri. We're going to play this clip for you now, which dissects the racial power play that forced out the president and chancellor and notes that blacks at other campuses are using the same tactics and will keep doing so until whites learn that every concession leads only to more demand. So we're going to play this clip. We talked about it last week with Sean Bergen. This will put the cherry on top of the cake, and then we'll move on to yet another topic. Let's roll that clip.
Hello, I'm Jared Taylor with American Renaissance. On Monday, the president of the University of Missouri, Tim Wolfe, and the chancellor, Bowen Lofton, resigned. They were driven out by black students who said they were indifferent to campus racism. The university now says that to heal the poor, aching campus, it will spend millions on diversity recruitment and sensitivity training for everyone on campus. What went wrong? MISU, as the University of Missouri is called, has 35,000 students, but only 7% are black. They claim that the campus is seething with racism. Despite all this racism, the student body president is a homosexual black man named Peyton Head. Here he is in the regalia of his office. Well, Mr. Head claims that on the night of September 11th, a group of white men in the back of a pickup truck off campus called him the N-word. There were no witnesses, but this claim brought instant celebrity. Mr. Head was widely quoted as saying, "This is what I'm fighting against every day. If you see violence like this and don't say anything, then you, yes, you are part of the problem." Violence? A few days later, in the early hours of October 5, there actually was a confirmed utterance of the N-word. A black group was rehearsing a play on an outdoor stage when a white student, so drunk he could hardly walk, stumbled onto the stage with a cell phone pressed to his ear. The blacks told him, quite forcefully it appears, to get off the stage, and when he stepped off, he fell down. He was still on his cell phone and reportedly mumbled into the phone that these Negroes are getting aggressive with me, except he didn't use the word Negro. He then staggered off into the night. The student was kicked out of his dorm and is under a disciplinary investigation, but blacks demanded strong measures to fight this plague of hate. They didn't get what they wanted, so 5 days later, a graduate student named Jonathan Butler organized a group of blacks to block President Wolf's car in the homecoming parade. Mr. Butler pointed a megaphone at President Wolf and his wife and shouted, "We will be here until we are heard and our people feel safe on this campus." Mr. Butler claims he was hit by the car, but a video shows that he rushed right up to the car himself. After a few minutes, police persuaded the demonstrators to get out of the way. The blacks, though, were furious because President Wolf didn't stop the parade, get out of his car, and let them shout at him. "His silence is violence," exclaimed one of the blacks. Mr. Butler, here he is in action, was dumbfounded at being brushed off. "What else do I have to do to prove my humanity?" he wanted to know. Well, 2 weeks later, someone reportedly used feces to paint a swastika on a bathroom wall in a dormitory. This was too much for Mr. Butler. On November 2nd, he announced he would not eat until President Wolf resigned. As he explained, the revolting acts that are occurring at Mizzou are a result of a poisonous infestation of apathy that has been spawning from University of Missouri system leadership. I'm already not treated like I'm a human, he said. Chancellor Lofton admitted that, quote, racism has deep roots in our university, and he promised to, quote, make our university an inclusive and welcoming environment for all. Not good enough. Mr. Butler demanded that President Wolf write a handwritten apology to the black students, hold a press conference to read the letter out loud, acknowledge his white male privilege, and admit that blacks suffer under systems of oppression, and of course resign. President Wolf offered to meet and talk, but Mr. Butler refused. A tent city sprang up to support the hunger strike. There were mass rallies to demand Mr. Wolf's resignation. The student government called for his head. Classes were canceled. The blacks on the football team decided to go on strike until the president resigned and the white players went along with them. On November 8th, President Wolf promised a, quote, system-wide diversity and inclusion strategy, but the protesters laughed at that. The next day, he resigned. Blacks were so happy they sang and danced. At one celebration, blacks asked all the whites to leave so they could have what they called, quote, a black-only healing space for the students to share, decompress, be vulnerable, and real. Jonathan Butler was helped into a car and taken off campus to end his hunger strike. Missouri Governor Jay Nixon said, Tim Wolf's resignation was a necessary step toward healing and reconciliation. Josh Earnest, the White House press secretary, said the resignations proved that, quote, a few people speaking up and speaking out can have a profound impact. The day after the resignation, a black man, Chuck Henson, was appointed interim vice chancellor for inclusion, diversity, and equity. And the new interim president, another black man, Michael Middleton. He told the New York Times that he feels marginalized because of his race every day. But the excitement wasn't over. Remember Peyton Head, the student body president who claimed he was yelled at by whites and who said he fights racism every day? Here he is, right in the middle, fighting racism. After President Wolf resigned, he warned on Facebook that the KKK was on campus and that students should stay indoors and away from windows. He said he was working with the campus police, state troopers, and the National Guard to counter the threat. Later he admitted he got that all wrong. So let's recap. What caused the fuss? A guy who has visions of Klansmen and has imaginary conversations with the National Guard claims he was called the N-word off campus. A falling down drunk white kid actually uses the word and is punished. The president of the university refuses to stop the homecoming parade so he can be yelled at by a hopped-up black guy with a megaphone. A brown swastika is found. That's it. That's what brought the university to its knees. The president and chancellor are out. Yet more millions will be spent on diversity. Ironically, Tim Wolf was brought in from industry to cut costs, but there are always millions to make blacks happy. Oh, and Jonathan Butler, the hunger striker who claims he's not treated like a human being? Well, his father, Eric Butler, is executive vice president of Union Pacific Railroad. Daddy made $8.4 million last year. Yep, this is the guy who wanted to hear Tim Wolf apologize for white male privilege. This is sickening. Blacks can push college presidents around only because whites are cowards. As usual, Donald Trump got it right. I think it's disgusting, he said, calling the president and chancellor weak and ineffective for resigning. But there'll be more. Just yesterday, the dean of students at Claremont McKenna College, Mary Spellman, resigned after students started, you guessed it, a hunger strike. They did that because of an insensitive email message. She looks insensitive, doesn't she? And the president of the junior class, she's at the bottom holding the sign, was hounded out of her job by Hispanics because she posed for this picture with two girls who committed cultural misappropriation. Now, here are just a few of the hundreds of students at Ithaca College who want to boot their president because he just doesn't get it when it comes to race. Here are angry Yalies. The wife of the master of Silliman College said Yale shouldn't tell students what to wear on Halloween. Oh my gosh. So they say she and the master have both got to go. At Smith College, the administration hopes to head off trouble by hurriedly calling a town hall meeting so students can roar about microaggressions. When will whites learn that every capitulation only brings more crazy demands? Until they learn that, they can expect nothing but defeat and humiliation. Let this be a lesson for you, white man. Thanks for watching.
Brother Nathaniel, making my job quite easy tonight. This isn't work, is it? We're going to take a break. I'll probably have to punch the clock after this. But I had to play those two clips. I thought they were just too good to pass up. We'll be right back. Yeah.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Well, at the end of that last segment, I forgot to turn my mic back on. And what I was saying was Brother Nathaniel and Jared Taylor had certainly made my job in the first hour easy. But, you get clips like that out there, that good, and you have the ability to broadcast them on the mainstream AM airwaves. You got to take advantage of that from time to time. So I am going to have to punch the clock for the rest of the show now and get back to work. But I hope you enjoyed that. It was my pleasure to bring that those to you. Scoop Stanton on with us now with his weekly report. Scoop, take it away. I understand you have called. Scoop probably is the most active in the street of any of the cesspool crew. We get out there from time to time. We do what we can, and we had really one of the biggest rallies in the last 10 years of activism, for our side at least, when we drew 500 people this summer to Nathan Bedford Forest Park. Political cesspool played a leading role in that. But Scoop goes out into the streets as well, and he is not shy to call his elected officials, and he did just that this week. Scoop, tell us the story.
All right, thanks, James. First, we want to remember the following officers who were casualties in the war on cops. First one is Chief Darrell Allen of the Marlin, Texas Police Department, who was shot and killed November the 10th while moonlighting. That's right, a chief of police in a town has the moonlight, so when people say cops do it for the money, you are dead wrong. Second victim that you didn't hear was Officer Ricardo Galvez of the Downey, California Police Department, who was shot and killed November 18th. When three savages ambushed him in his patrol car as he was waiting to get off duty. Again, that didn't make the media. But a few days ago, while driving around town, I saw a Marine recruiter driving a Hyundai car with government tags. That's right. Cars not made by Ford, GM, or Chrysler are now being bought and used by our federal government, which support union labor. I became upset that our car plants are closing daily and our government buys cars with foreign ownership. So I contacted my congressman, who was very receptive. Then I contacted Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia. And then that's where I realized that the flood of these Syrian refugees was more important than foreign cars. So I spoke to the D.C. office, and I talked to some staffer, some very feminine gentlemen, I use the term loosely. And not only did the idiot at the other end of the telephone tell me that Senator Kaine supported the incoming flood of Syrian refugees, but the staffer himself supported it. And I said, why in the world would you want to support, let these people come in? And so this idiot, reading the Democrat talking point, said, well, they're coming here to make a better life for themselves and improve themselves because the conditions in their homeland are so terrible. I said, well, fine, why don't we give them guns and training and let them fight for the homeland? And then we went back and forth. I brought up the point. I said, listen, didn't you see what happened last week? Like, what, in Paris? Like, exactly. Yeah, well, they're not, the people in Paris are not the ones coming over here. Like, how do you know that? And he said, well, the government's going to do screening. And then I brought up the point. I said, listen, about the refugees from Somalia that's in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Utica, New York? He's like, I said, listen, those two towns are turning into absolute cesspools with the Somali immigrants. If you go back to a couple years ago, the Somali cab drivers didn't refuse to pick up people at the airport that purchased liquor in the tax and duty-free stores, and they wanted a foot washing station because Muhammad said, go wash your feet five times a day. And then, meanwhile, in Utica, New York, you have these Somali immigrants who do not read or write their own native language. They can't read, write, or speak English. And on top of that, it's so backwards in Somalia that these people coming over, when they're getting a tax ID number, so God forbid they do work, which they won't, which they brought up, the point that they're going to come here for a better life, free food, free housing, free education, and free Democrat voter registration cards. But anyways, back to Somalia, that these people coming over here, and so bad over here that the date of birth for the tax ID numbers, which is a social security number, is January 1st, because these people do not know when or even where they were born. Now, speaking of Paris, the New York City Police Department and the D.C.'s Metropolitan Police Department went high alert this week when there is a threat from Tim Kaine's new friends coming to town doing some damage. New York City had a command presence. You had cops, you had cop cars, rifles, shotguns, helmets, everywhere. So you know that New York City is safe. The District of Columbia had Mayor Muriel Bowser in front of the White House telling Fox 5 here in D.C. that D.C. is safe. when pressed about, you know, what strategies, what tactics, what deployments, she simply said, well, we are working with federal partners. I was driving around the district, walking around the district, and riding the trains through the District of Columbia, and I did not see any uniform officers, let alone anybody with long rifles. Now, finally, yours truly went to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse as part of a surprise birthday party. Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, if you remember, years ago was a sponsor of one Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. These two jokers always want to make a big deal, like they're high rollers, so they want to go to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. So it was a surprise party because my parents showed up. My father wore his best suit, and I showed up looking like a roadie for the Allman Brothers Band. But a good time was had by all, and yours truly was dressed worse than the bus boys. Back to you in the studio, James.
Keeping it classy as always, our own Scoop Stanton there reporting in his duties as a correspondent for this talk radio program from the belly of the beast, Washington, D.C. Scoop, I really like it that you got into a ta-da-ta with your congressman's handler, or rather his call screener or intern. I didn't know it was part of their job to argue with the constituents about policy. But you bring up the fact that you called in to complain about immigration, rightly so, I might add, and the so-called Syrian refugees. And it brought up something that I read this week. Nobody outcucks Glenn Beck. Let me just tell you that right off the top here. If you're looking for a world champion cuckold, Glenn Beck. In fact, if you look up the definition of cuck in the dictionary, there's a big picture of Glenn Beck's fat, blubbering face. And he's in the news this week comparing himself ludicrously to Oscar Schindler and announcing his plans to illegally smuggle so-called Syrian refugees into the United States. Here's the story. Listen to this, and I'll toss it back to you, Scoop. In an interview with the Daily Caller's Jenny Thomas, radio talk show host and the Blaze founder, Glenn Beck, urged his listeners. Now, listen to this. We asked for people to donate in our quarterly fundraising drives to help keep this show on the air. We need, a few thousand dollars, $5,000, $2,000 to $5,000 a quarter to keep this show on the air, which is nothing for an award-winning, nationally syndicated show. We asked for just that much just to keep the bare bones operation going. Glenn Beck urged his listeners to raise $10 million in order to help him personally relocate Syrian refugees into the United States, and vowed to do so even if it landed him in jail. Beck tearfully recited the poem inscribed on the Statue of Liberty. And when is he not crying? And that's another thing I want to ask you. I was on Sam Bushman's show on Wednesday, and Glenn Beck got brought up, and Sam had quoted Glenn Beck. I said, Sam, was he crying when he issued that quote? This guy is a joke. I wish somebody would take him by the collar and shake him and said, quit being a cuck and be a man. You know, what are you? What's the matter with this guy? And not only is he I think he's psychologically ill. I know he's just doing his job and he's doing what he's paid to do, which is to be a misinformation agent and a cuckservative and a traitor and an overall pathetic excuse for a man. But he's crying as he reads the poem inscribed on the Statue of Liberty. This is what Beck said. When we don't welcome in the tempest-tossed, when we can watch them lying face down in the sand and we don't accept them into our country, we don't have a light that we're holding by that door anymore, he said. Beck went on to say that he asked his audience to raise $10 million before Christmas, mind you, to help take in Syrian refugees. Stop asking for permission, he said. Stop thinking we need permission. We will vet them ourselves. We can save more people by Christmas than Oscar Schindler saved, okay? All right, so my first question is, Glenn Beck, why don't you're going to raise $10 million to bring in this third world rabble. Do you not think there's maybe a poor white Southern boy, a poor white Southern family that could use your benevolence? And guess how many Syrian refugees your favorite person, Bibi Netanyahu, and your favorite country, Israel, is taking in right next door to Syria? That's right, Glenn. Zero. So why don't you take it up with them? Scoop, back to you.
Wow. But, you know, we got to realize Glenn Beck will just do what Glenn Beck wants to do. You all know damn well he's not going to take in Syrian refugee number one.
I want him to take it into his house, and I want Obama to put up a tent city in the White House lawn. All these people who are saying we want to bring in Syrian refugees, we want to bring in illegal aliens, we want to bring in Mexicans, let them live in your house first, and then talk to us.
Right. And the other conservative in Tim Kaine's office, I asked him point blank, I said, well, you want these people living in your neighborhood? He's like, yes. So, but again, nothing's going to happen because nothing's going to happen with Glenn Beck. He'll just take the money and then, you know, do whatever he wants to do with it. But he's a joke, and the whole world knows he's a joke. But anyways, back to the gentleman here in D.C. I asked, okay, Tim Kaine wants to bring these people in, fine, but why don't we spend the money to save the 22 servicemen that kill themselves every single day? And he's like,
Scoop.
Well, Senator Kaine supports veterans, this and the other thing. I said, oh, baloney.
But, well, we got to take a break with that, Scoop. We'll pick up there next week. Thank you for your contributions. Everybody else, stay tuned. Second hour coming right up.